Welcome to episode 218 of the Family Podcast Network. Do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do-do.
Welcome to the Family Podcast Network, where we help you work with your tough kids, and even those that aren't. Coming to you from Tuscola, Texas, home and headquarters of the Family Podcast Network, here's your host, Trey Gibson.
Well, hello and welcome to this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids, hey, even those that aren't, man. It doesn't matter if you're expecting, if you're a brand new mom and dad, or even if you're a seasoned, longtime veteran parent, there is always something that we can do to take our parenting to the next level. The date today is May the 13th, 2013. Our topic for today is going to be, but you're my favorite. That's right, today we're going to talk a little bit about favorites or playing favoritism among kids. This is actually kind of an older topic that we did many, 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 many moons ago, probably long before many of you guys started listening to Family Podcast Network. Only a few of our most longtime and seasoned listeners have heard this one. But it was time to resurrect this one because we had some talks about this a while back between some families that had written in and I, and these were private conversations. That's why y'all didn't hear them on the air. But we got to talking about preferential treatment and having favorites amongst our siblings, and it is something that many parents actually do without even knowing it. It's not about love. It's not about loving their kids or loving one more than another or any of that kind of thing. But often we show favoritisms with our kids without even realizing it. Today we're going to talk a little bit about that. So the question that really comes down to is this. Are you showing or playing favorites to your kiddos? Maybe you are. Stick with us today. We'll find out. Before we do that, guys, let's jump into our housekeeping. If you want to get notified, new episodes that come out. What is it that Trey talked about today whenever you wake up Monday morning? You're like, dang it, I want to know, but I don't necessarily want to go jump over on the website right this moment. We make that easy and simple for you to do from your mobile devices even. You can go to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Over on the right-hand side, if you enter your name and your email address, you will get notifications in your email that will say, hey, simple, not crazy. We don't try to market or sell anything to you guys. We just offer out the cool deals that we get every so often, which is very, very rare. All you're typically going to get is just messages every so often that say, hey, here's what's going on. And here's what we're talking about today, and here's what you might want to come check out. Super easy to do, super easy to get hooked up on. We want to make sure that you never miss that one episode, that if you just would have listened to it starting out that morning, it could have changed everything that day, everything that week, everything over the last month. If I just would have listened to that one show, it wouldn't have gone where it went with my kiddos. We can do that, and we make that easy for you. So go over to thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. Over on the right-hand side where it says Get Episode Updates, type in your name and email address, submit that, and we make it as easy and as simple as possible to put you on that. Once again, we do not spam your email address or give it out, blah, blah, blah. It is between you and I, only us. You guys are so valuable to me, I would never do that, I promise. Also, guys, if you want to like us on Facebook, share our episodes out. Wonderful thing that you guys can do for us. You guys can also do that on Twitter as well. We do have Twitter accounts set up for that where you can tweet these kinds of things right on over to Twitter and Facebook and let people know what's going on, what do you like, and support the show. And I let other people know out there, hey, check this out. And we love drawing in new people that way. So go share that out. Let people know, people that you know that like this or who might be connected with this. Let's continue to build the family. Guys, also go check out our blog, thefamilypodcastnetwork.com/blog. Or the top hand of thefamilypodcastnetwork.com. You'll see up at the top where it says blog. Go click on that little baddie. When you do, it'll jump on us on over there. If you like to read more than you like to listen, sometimes I understand that I get, well, no, I don't. I'm an audio guy. But if you like to read, go check out that blog. My wife, Corey, has been doing that blog. And we have the type of relationship that if she sucked, I would say, listen, guys, she's bad. Don't listen. You know, I would probably just say, listen, sweetie, this is not your venue. Let's find another way for you to do this. However, my wife writes incredibly well when it comes to blogging. I mean, any gift that I have for doing this with audio podcasting, my wife carries with the written word. Go check it out. She's entertaining. She's fun. And in a lot of ways, guys, you get a very unique – it's an honor that I've been able to talk my wife into doing that because we talk philosophy and fundamentals here at thefamilypodcastnetwork.com with the podcast that we put out, this radio show that knocks out to you guys every week or three times a week. we talk a lot of the fundamentals. So the other thing that I try to do with the blog and really the Real Family Guys podcast, both of these are about creating practical applications. So okay, Trey talks a big talk with all this stuff on the podcast. What's it like when you put it into play? My wife brings that because she is the one. She's a stay-at-home mom. She stays at home with our four kids all day long, and she practices this stuff way more than I do. So if you want to get a real feel for how's it like being an active, everyday, engaged parent who's doing this stuff full-time, all the time, all day long, how does this stuff work? What works? What doesn't work? That's the place to go to that. TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com/blog or just click on blog on the upper navigation bar. Guys, also, if you want to support the show, you say, man, I love what Trey is doing. I love what he talks about. I love the help that he gives. I love the basic fundamentals of what he's doing. There's two things that you can do for me. This is a little bit different today. We're gonna mix up the housekeeping just a little bit. Number one, you can always become a PTAC. It's Parents for the Ethical Treatment of Adolescents and Kids. What that means is you're just taking an active part and saying, God, I love what you're doing so much. I want to keep this going. I want you to keep doing this. Because remember, guys, it takes money. And so it helps keep incentivizing while we're doing this. It helps keep the bills paid, keeps all the things that we're doing. I want to support what Trey's doing because I want to keep getting podcasts delivered to my phone 3 times a week, right? Or email or, you know, website, blah, blah, blah. Anyway, all that to say, you can do that, 30 cents per episode. If you feel like you're getting $3 per episode, you can jump on over there. Click on the Become a Member at the very top-hand side, or top-hand part of that, and then you will become a member. We are putting together a very special membership page for you guys. Let me tell you, it's going to be loaded with some goodies, so consider doing that. We will give back to you guys in some ways with some services and all that other good jazz. Go check us out. Second thing you can do when it comes to supporting the show, if you know someone who has a business who might want to start advertising on here, I think it's time. I've been putting a lot of time into this. So those of you guys out there that are Christian believers, and we understand and acknowledge everybody is not, but I've been putting a lot of prayer into this. When is it time to start opening this up to advertisers? And I think it's time. So if you know somebody that has a business, if you have a business that you're like, man, I'd love to support through my business, we can see about setting up a sponsorship to the show as well. So consider doing that. Keep that in mind. Who do you got out there that would love this kind of stuff, that believes in this kind of stuff, and would love to see this kind of message move on? Consider doing that for me. Guys, last, if you have any questions, comments, thoughts, topics, encouragement, you want to get us, that's right. We want to answer your questions. We love your emails. We love your thoughts and comments, etc. And we want to get back to you. If you will, you can shoot those in several different ways. You can always email us. TreyGibson@TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com. My favorite, personal favorite, call in to us. I love putting questions on the show. If you need to and you feel uncomfortable, you know, that's the one thing about radio shows and podcasts everywhere else. It seems like most people are really open about who they are and where they're from. But it seems like when you start delving into parenting issues, we get really nervous. We get really uncomfortable. And we don't like to talk or go over these kinds of things and say these kinds of things and that we have issues with our parenting or that we have something we need to grow in our parenting. We don't like to say that. So if you need to, make up a fake name. I don't care. Nobody's going to recognize you. I promise you. Throw that out there. But here's my promise. There is somebody who needs an answer to the question that you have. So it's not even just about getting an answer for you, which is good. We want that too. We want you having those answers to those questions. However, we also understand, and I want you to know that, there is somebody else out there dealing with almost the exact same thing. And we can't have the exact same thing every time. But they're dealing with something that is so similar to you. And not only do they need to hear that, holy crap, I'm not the only one having this issue. Two, they need an answer to that. Chunk that out there. We want to answer your questions. We answer every single email and voicemail that we get permission to share on here anytime we can. So guys, consider doing that. You can also leave us an internet voicemail. If you go to TheFamilyPodcastNetwork.com, over on the right-hand side, it says Ask Trey a Question. Click on that little honeypot. When you do, if you've got a microphone connected to your computer, you will hit record and be able to record just like you were leaving a voicemail on a cell phone. It'll record right onto it and then save it and send it to my email so that way we can see about getting your question answered put on the show. Guys, you can also call us at 661-PARENT-0. That is 661-PARENT and the number 0. That's if you're out and about and driving around and you think about something you want to ask me about. Try to find a quiet place. Move yourself into a spot where there's not a lot of road noise or whatever else. Roll your windows up if you're in your car. Don't be around machinery, etc. And if you will, you can drop us a quick message. Whenever you do that, I ask that. Ask your question first. There with SpeakPipe, we only have a minute and a half to get your question in. So ask your question first, Trey. My question is on blank, and then give me the details. If you flip it around, I've had too many of them that I wasn't able to put on the air because people didn't ask your question till the end, and they went over their minute 30. So ask your question, then jump into your details to try to make sure that we don't get you cut too short. So once again, if you want to do that, you're out and about. Phone 661 parent and zero, guys. You can also go to the website. If you're there and you spend most of your time on the website, you can click up there where it says contact us. There's several different options in the contact us bar there that you can choose from. Select any one of those. Let us know what you want to hear. And last, guys, you can always, always, always contact us over on Facebook. We have a lot of people that seem to prefer the instant messaging feature through the Family Podcast Network Facebook page, and a lot of people like to send us messages and ask questions that way. Wonderful. No problem. Do it that way. We love it when you guys do. All right. With all of that out of the way, let's jump into our show for today. I'm telling you, this is one of my favorite, guys, because my guess would be this. You are likely showing preferential treatment on one of your kids solely because, or for some particular reason, and you probably don't even know it. Probably don't. Now, maybe you got this all squared away. Maybe you've never had an issue whatsoever. Maybe it's never been a big deal. But my guess is that there is something going on that you don't even realize is going on. Now, I selected, I love you more as kind of the topic here. And first off, don't hear me say that I'm actually insinuating that you love one of your kids more than the others. And so we do that in a large part because we have to get people's attention with this. Why else are we going to read it with a load of topics and things out there to read? But when we're talking about this, what we're referring to is that most people are going to, kind of automatically dismiss this idea that we could do that. But what I'm going to ask you to do is don't necessarily dismiss it just quite yet, because you might not realize that you're doing some of these things inadvertently. So when it comes to this idea of preferential treatment, of giving kind of more preference to one kid or another, there's kind of a misconception here that it's only about liking and being nice to one kid. So you're like, well, I don't do that. I like all my kids, and I'm nice to them all. And that's likely very, very true. And I would even go as far to say that in an instant like that with you saying that, I would even agree with you that it's probably that case. Most of us like our kids to one certain extent or another. But the reality is sometimes it's more subtle. It's more subtle than that. Sometimes there's just certain things that may be easier for us to identify with as parents. And so there will be certain things that you have a tendency to like in each kid. Certain things that we connect with, certain things that we love. And you know what? That's the beauty of it right there. Is that the key to all of this is about finding something in all of our kids that we connect with, that we love. But the problem is that certain things are sometimes easier. An example being, my son is much more of an emotional type like me. And as such, it's very easy to connect with him on that. My daughter, Anna, my oldest, is very scientific. So sometimes it's much easier to connect with that. My daughter, Anna, is also older. And as such, we have more philosophical, deep question, conversations in between each other. And sometimes that is more easy to connect with. And sometimes if we're not careful, that ease in connecting with one kid or another sometimes becomes so overwhelming that we get to a point to where we have a hard time connecting with the other kids because, well, they're not like so-and-so. And sometimes these things are overt, and they're things that we think out loud or we think in our head, and sometimes they're covert. Sometimes they're just kind of that drawing that we have to one kid versus another. Sometimes that's our babies, our little babies, our last-born kiddos. And it's just always easier to treat them a little bit different. And I'll be frank, so a lot of this has been birthed out of, when I first put this show together, it birthed out of that preference that I noticed for each kid, or even sometimes that preferential treatment just to the little baby, solely because they're little babies. And I saw kind of a vast amount of this happening outside of the home, not just here in the Gibson, Casa de Gibson here. But I began to realize that there's a major issue with it. And the problem with it being a major issue is not the problem with it being a major issue, is that it's often very subtle. And that subtlety has a tendency to kind of disguise and hide it. And we don't realize it. But kids are figuring this stuff out. As they're getting older, they're popping off statements like, he's always been your favorite. I had a grandmother the other day openly admit that one of her granddaughters is just her favorite. And let me tell you, it wasn't the sweet, just we get along really well, we have the better relationship. It was just she's the only one that I really have any desire to connect with. Some people are overt and do it that way, but sometimes it's not. So let's talk a little bit about some of the top things that I see. We're going to talk about the top five things that I see people when it comes to preferential treatment, what happens. Number one, I want to get this out of the way. I decided to do it first. Sometimes, and this is the more dramatic of them all, but sometimes we just plain out there are parents that just like or treat one kid better. Or worse, in some cases. I tell you, over the last few years, I've seen a few things. One of the things that I remember seeing was that I worked with a family, and the mom had just recently divorced the husband, and the husband was a turd. I mean, he was not a good man, and he was doing the best he could, but he was in a rotten place at the time, and he was treating her real junky and the kids real junky. And she got out of this relationship, and she started to develop this adverse reaction to her son, and it just got worse, and it got worse to where she was just fighting and bickering with him all the time, and then turned into screaming and yelling. And the reality was, I sat down with her for quite a little while, and she hemmed and hawed and went all the way around it. Finally, she just said it. She goes, "I hate his guts because he reminds me of everything I hate about him." And I remember that look in her eyes when she began to realize that all of her hatred and contempt was just pouring on him. Now, guys, sometimes this is a very extreme case. You're like, well, I'm not divorcing and blah, 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 and I'm fine and all that other stuff. But sometimes it's more subtle. Sometimes it's even just that one little thing that we just get irritated the junk of that our spouse does, that one of our kids begins to pick up on or do, or maybe not even do in the fullest sense, but maybe just in the slightest, almost kind of recognizable way that the spouse does. And we get really frustrated and we get really angry and we get really upset with it. And we kind of heap out that preferential treatment. Maybe we avoid them because they remind us of that. And I want to be very okay. I'm very, very explicit on this. This is not okay. You may think that your kiddo is like your spouse. But let's be clear here. They are not your spouse. You see, they come with this very unique and wonderful thing that helps balance them out. You. Let's be clear here. The goal is to not take that part away from them. They will forever be a piece of your spouse. Or maybe even a piece of that thing that really irritates you about your spouse. But let's be clear. They are not them. They come with a curious and unique combination of your genetic code. But then also just your personality, your experiences, your relationship with them. At least there better be one. But they are not your spouse. So please, I am requesting, I am begging on behalf of hundreds of kids that I've worked with and for me directly from Trey himself, please do not take your emotional crap out on them. They're tough. It's hard. Divorce is nasty. Bad habits and vices are nasty. But that does not make them your spouse. Moving on. Number two, when it comes to this preferential treatment that I see, the other one that I see a lot of is gender preferences. I mean, that's just the issue of there being one gender that you like more than the other. Maybe you just grew up with girls. You're a girl. You grew up with girls. Maybe you have all sisters and you had that one boy and all of a sudden you're like, "Holy Mother of Moses, I got no idea what to do." But you just like that one gender better and then all of a sudden you get the other one that doesn't. You begin to show preference to the girls. Maybe it's that dudes, men, what do we often want? Girl or boy? We want our boy. Just for the record, that's not true of me. Just want y'all to know. I had resigned myself that I was going to have girls. And my wife is all girls as well. Yes, 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 yes. I already hear some of you ladies jumping up, getting, rattling your sabers here. Yes, I do. I am very aware that the genetic coding for male versus female is passed down the men's line and that chromosome. Yes, I got that. But I had resigned myself that it was. Because at first, guess what I wanted? I wanted a boy. I wanted a boy and I wanted an only child, right? Because I'm an only child. I'm comfortable with that. I'm a boy and they're a boy. Boom, problem solved, right? And so that's what I wanted. And thank God we didn't take that approach. But that was what I wanted at the start. And as things went, as I met my wife and all the girls and the girls that they were, you know, that they were having, her sisters were having, I was just like, holy crap, I'm destined for this. So I was ready for all girls and I was excited. I mean, I was absolutely excited. But maybe it's the guy who wanted his boy and he didn't get him. Didn't get the boy like he expected, right? And then the girl comes along later, but they always are kind of deferent to that. I have to be careful now because my son Grant just connects with things more like me. He likes to shoot. He likes weapons and guns and tactical military stuff and all that junk. And I've got to be very careful because I've got to make sure that while that's very important that he and I have that and that we share that and that that's something that's unique between the two of us, I also make time to figure out horse stuff for my daughter. I also make time to understand Diego for my next youngest daughter. It takes effort. But if I am not careful, I begin to show preferential treatment solely because my son picked things to like that were similar to what his daddy liked. Again, nothing wrong with that, but it's vital that we be very cognizant of that. So a lot of times, if we're not careful, we like one gender better than the other. Sometimes, it's even an issue of like if the other gender has hurt us, then we like to pick the opposite. I can't tell you how many moms and dads that I've seen that had crappy moms who will get in there and prefer the boys because they don't like the idea of girls. I can't tell you how many men... We'll do the same thing in the reverse. We'll pick opposite genders solely because they make us more comfortable. Or at least they make us feel less comfortable than the other gender for whatever reason. But once again, to be clear, this is not okay. You see, there's a fundamental fact that men and women are absolutely beautiful. As a creation, we are incredible. We come with a unique set of gifts that make us stronger for each other and with each other and better than we could have been without each other. Outside of the genetic reproduction part of everything, we bring equal things to a relationship that is amazing. Now, you may have had crappy experiences, bad experiences when it comes to certain genders. And we understand that. I get that. But please, do not let that come out on your kid. Next off, one of the ones that I see, this is kind of one of the ones that we deal with. Sometimes we have preferential treatment based off of whining. Well, this can go both ways. But sometimes it's an issue of the one who whines the most wins, right? Whoever can throw the biggest whiny fit or temper tantrum or whatever else and inappropriately express their emotions, those are the ones that will get our attention. Now, mind you, I am excluding one age group from that, and I'm talking about infants. Infants, when they cry, need something. As they get older, yes, there may be some authentic lying, or whining, not lying, whining. And we get that. That's fine. I mean, that really does happen as they get older, but often as they are young, it is not whining. But the one who whines the most gets the most preferential treatment. So you see what that does? Several different things. But it has a tendency to cause kids who are getting it right, that we're doing it the way we want them to do it, to get less attention and then get to a point where they go, why even try? I'm not going to get noticed unless I am messing up, acting a fool, being a little turd. Because you see, here's the issue. A lot of parents erroneously assume that getting on to and whining kids shuts them up. You see, it doesn't. What happens is actually much worse. Whenever you cave during a whining session, it is not a bueno thing. Why is that a problem? Because kids learn that whining works. So a lot of times kids get preferential treatment based off the fact that they can whine better than the other ones. It's not what we want from our kids. We do not want them picking up on this. It is not good. So my encouragement is never pay attention to whining. Never pay attention to whining. Not in the store, not at home, nowhere. Not even when you're in church and everybody's looking at you now. Do not pay attention to whining. Instead, what I recommend is notice the kids and praise the kids who are not whiners, who aren't throwing the fits, who aren't throwing the temper tantrums and going berserker on us, right? Notice them and pay attention to them. That doesn't mean that we're not going to find good things in the kid who's whining later, but focus on those and notice those. Number four, sometimes it just goes back to plain out personality preferences. So this one isn't necessarily vindictive. In some cases it is, but in a lot of cases this is a very benign issue that we have with our kids. But there might just be that there's one personality that you like. I mean, it can be little subtle things. We just got finished doing an article last week about using aggression and teaching kids how to be aggressive. And so a lot of times dads are very drawn to that because, you know, maybe there's one personality that's just more aggressive and dads are kind of drawn to that. They see him as being strong, right? Because we typically want our boys to be strong. But, I mean, sometimes it's the same for girls too, let's be honest. Maybe there's one who's less aggressive. And that's kind of the one that we're drawn to. A lot of moms will often like this. But sometimes it's just as simple as maybe one of them is more dry-witted or one of them is more quiet. But there's just that little thing that we just like about them more. It's easier for us to deal with, whether it's a personality issue on our part or maybe it's just we don't want to have to deal with the other kind of personalities, right? I mean, that's sometimes an issue. Sometimes certain personalities take more time at the start. My son Grant, we mentioned earlier that he's much more of my emotional one. I want y'all to hear me say, I see that in a very positive light. My ability to be emotional is also my ability to be passionate. And it's one of the things that keeps me flowing here at Family Podcast Network is the passion. So I say that with a very good, a good twist, a good connotation or intonation in my voice whenever I talk about it. And so sometimes if I'm not careful, it's easy to get inclined towards him. Or again, like I said with my daughter Anna, she's the science one, and she likes to know words and titles. She doesn't just want to know what condensation is, you know, or what fog is. She wants to learn what condensation is, and she's just my little science nerd. So I have to be very careful that I don't show the preferential to that just because of those personalities. So be very careful with these because sometimes when we're not aware with it, we get those little things that just happen. And number five, sometimes there's age preferences. We kind of hit on this a little bit earlier. But I'm going to be honest with you guys, I kind of saved this one for last. Why did I save it for last? One of the top things that I see parents do is let babies get away with stuff. I see parents let little babies get away with everything. And I'm telling you, it almost always comes at the expense of older kids. I've seen parents that'll have, you know, kids that they'll have their room open and they'll have something in there. And I've heard of kids who the little baby will crawl in there and break something and there's no consequences. I mean, I see it all the time. I watch little babies enforce their will on their bigger older brothers and sisters solely through mom and dad. I mean, it's really a fascinating phenomenon. And I want to be very clear here, as we have been in all the other ones. This is not okay. This is not okay. You see, there are fewer, faster ways to destroy a relationship than to do this kind of thing. I'll flip it around. There are fewer better ways to build a relationship than being fair, equitable across the ages. One of the things that I've seen is like if the older wants privacy in the room or the bathroom or whatever, but the baby is allowed in the room, and then if they say anything about it, they shut them up. Well, they're just a baby. Listen, guys, babies need boundaries too. Yeah, but yeah, Trey, they're too young to understand anything that we're talking about here. Maybe that is the case. However, it doesn't matter. You begin teaching them the vernacular. You begin helping them understand the boundaries. If they're babies, I mean, the consequences probably need to be different. I get that. But kids, little babies need boundaries too. Older kiddos need to know that they can be protected from little baby using mom and dad as the big bad wolf. Kids need that. Kids need to know that when little baby swings and hits one of the other ones, just because they're a baby and it doesn't hurt doesn't mean it's okay. You enforce that. Do not show preferential treatment to babies just because they're babies. You're not being fair to the other kid, and you're most certainly not being fair to that kid doing the hitting, the little baby. Because all you're doing is teaching them is that this is going to be okay. That's fine. Since you're little, that's fine. Then we spend a lot of time trying to teach them why that's not okay as they get older. Not much fun, I promise. Not much fun. So what do I recommend? We'll wrap it up on this today, guys. What do I recommend? Be fair with your kids. Be equitable across the ages. I understand that little babies can't always be expected to do everything that the older kids do, but they need to get dadgum close as humanly possible and be learning on a daily basis how to have those expectations held. So do not let your itty-bitties rule the roost. They're cute, they're fun, they're wonderful, but they are subject to the exact same rules as everybody else. Age-appropriate, mind you. Don't let your oldest get first pick of something or the front seat all the time. I see that frequently in parents that would come and see me in my office. They would always get there, and it seems like every so often, especially if two siblings were coming, it seems like we were always talking about the fight that they had, who was going to get to be in the front seat that day. And I tell you, I can't tell you how many moms would let the oldest sit up there because they were oldest. Why is that fair? And I know I'm going to get the emails. Well, Trey, they're just older, and when there's an eldest mentality, and the eldest should get these things. You know, what if the eldest is a jerk? What if the eldest is not kind or respectful? What if they're just using their power as the older is in a way to influence the younger? See, that's not fair. So be equitable. Have them be a part of that equitability. If you got two kids fighting over a chair, you know, have them come up with some rules together that they can agree on. And last, pay attention to your straggler. Who's that one that just doesn't get the attention? You know, we talk sometimes when I talk to parents about these, we talk a little bit about birth order and how often your first kid, you know, the average I think is like 2.5 kids in America, but 3 is a very common number for parents to have. And there's obviously extraneous. There's those that are like my family that are, you know, we're at number 4 and we're already talking about our 5th and adopting a 6th. But, you know, whenever there's those stragglers, and then there's those that have only childs like how I grew up. I mean, they're out there and we get that. But most people like to have 3. And there's an interesting dynamic to 3 that's out there. And they talk about what's called birth order and this mentality of birth order. And I'm just going to really briefly synopsize this just for the purpose of talking about what I'm talking about today. But often you get your first kid and they're your poster child. You know, they're the ones that just everybody's proud of. They go to business school and successful job and beautiful spouse and they're successful and all these things. And they're that one that if they could put one of their kids on a poster, they would put them. The other one is often the baby. And the baby often garnishes a lot of attention because they're babies, right? And they're the littlest or the youngest, and so they're always the last one to leave the house, etc., right? So those first and those last ones almost always get a lot of attention, but sometimes middle children can get left out. I see that in my youngest. She was my youngest daughter, but now she's kind of a middle child since we have Charlotte now, but Cora. I see that with Cora a lot, and I watch her very closely, and I really spend some extra effort to connect with her because sometimes I see how my oldest two have a tendency to kind of band together, and they go play their own little games and whatnot. And she often is too young, or the bigger kids get a little frustrated with her because she didn't quite understand. And this is very rare. 99.9% of the time, my kids are so sweet to her, and they help her, and they teach her, and they play with her. But sometimes they just have enough. And sometimes I'll catch her just kind of out there playing by herself, you know, when the other two kids are over there doing their thing. And so a lot of times the middle child, if they're not careful, get kind of left out. Because the oldest, you know, the first, who's older, who's more articulate, who's faster at the development, you know, who's been doing things longer, they get a lot of attention. Then the little baby who's cute and sweet and paints their cheeks and all that other junk, you know, get all this attention from, you know, you and everybody else out there. So sometimes they just kind of get left on the wayside. So be careful. Pay attention to your straggler. Know who, if you've got one, who it is, and make sure you spend an extra effort to not show, you know, preferential treatment just because one or two or the other one have more outgoing personalities. Figure out how to connect with your kids. Find them. Make those connections as quickly and deeply and as intimately in relationship as you can. And then capitalize on those. It'll save you a lot of headache, a lot of heartache on their end as well. And then jump in there and go get this, guys. Well, that is all that we have for this episode of the Family Podcast Network, helping you work with your tough kids and even those that aren't. Don't forget, guys, it is all about the relationship with your kid. Nothing else is important as how much relationship that you're having with your kid. So what are you doing this week to build relationship? Hey, you guys have a great day and a great rest of this week. And if nothing else, we'll see you guys on Wednesday.